This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Many thanks to Eric McClain, who joined us last hour, as he normally does during the football season, now that it has come to a screeching halt after a tumultuous 0-6 bowl attempt. We'll get into all this stuff in this segment, but Josh Pastner will join us coming up here in about a half an hour or so. Again, 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. So, Wes, you can't spin 0-6. It is what it is.
No.
Right. Two teams in the college football playoff, both lost by double digits. We're not happy about that either. But big picture, and again, this is kind of what we talk about, big picture. I thought the 20 campaign in the ACC was incredibly successful. When you start talking about the number of games played, especially when I go back to our shows in the middle of the summer thinking, yikes, are we going to get this thing off the ground? ACC played more games than anybody else. ACC had a terrific year having two teams in the college football playoff. The conference did something it's never done before in addition to that, and that is at one point in time had four teams ranked in the top 10. It never happened before. So despite an ugly ending, and you can't spin 0-6, big picture, I thought it was a pretty good year of ACC football, and I like the trajectory in terms of what's coming back for 21.
Well, Mark, we'll go back all the way to when we said, you know, it was important the league play this year, right? And it proved to be very important. Now, the ending is not what anybody wanted from a conference perspective, but at the same time, did they, you know, till enough ground to, you know, plant seeds for the benefit down the road? I think so. Now, only time tells. You got to water it. Got to keep it up to date, right? But I think the idea of what the value of 2020 ACC football was is still pretty strong. It's never easy when the postseason doesn't go well. And that can be the case for any league, right? Because a lot of things get questioned, and you go into the micro or the macro of the way you want to look at it. And that's really incumbent upon your own particular opinion. But we ran some stuff in hour one, and we can revisit it here, because I think the league has done pretty well in the last 5 years. Now, has that profit been returned to national championships? Yes, by Clemson. You had Notre Dame, who was a member in football this year, also make it to the CFP. But now we've got to continue that journey of finding that next team or those next two or three teams that can challenge Clemson in the ACC. And I think some of that groundwork was laid this year for sure.
Well, when you take a snapshot of we just use the last 5 years, just to put things in perspective of, all right, it's kind of a progress report of how the conference is doing. And, yeah, I know 0-6 in the bowl season wasn't great. But when you take a snapshot of the last 5 years in terms of bowl wins, college football playoff appearances, national championships, the ACC is actually doing quite well. Now, granted, the SEC, and to their credit, it's a great football league. It's normally the standard by which you always kind of measure yourself with. So a tip of the cap to the good folks down there in Birmingham and company. But here's where you got bowl wins in the last 5 years. Despite 0-6 this year, the ACC is sitting there in the number two spot with 23 bowl wins, tied with the SEC in college football playoff appearances and national championships as of today. College football playoff wins 8-5, but again, there's only been 14 of these bad boys played. The ACC's got five of them in their back pocket. Again, give Clemson a lot of credit on that front, but it's a conference deal when it comes to bowl wins. So you see where you stand as far as the Power 5 goes. SEC with 30, the ACC 23, Big Ten's got 22, Big 12 going 5-0 this year has 19, and the Pac-12 a distant 11. I assume they're still playing football on the West Coast. But, you know, again, it puts things in perspective about where you are big picture, despite the fact that, hey, yeah, 0-6 didn't make anybody happy as far as the postseason goes. But for the most part, I think the league has made huge strides here in the last couple of years.
But, Mark, here's the other thing. We talk about the dynamic with football in this league. The football product, and you and I both know this, and I think most ACC fans recognize this, the football product as a whole in this league, despite Clemson's superiority and supremacy in the last, what, 5 to 10 years, 5 to 8 years for sure. The idea you have to keep in mind here is the product as a whole is significantly better than it was 5 years ago for sure.
It seems that way to me. Now, granted, this year you had a sampling of Notre Dame as a conference member. In all likelihood, that won't happen moving forward. We're just going to assume that because Notre Dame wants their independence. But I think it's, again, we've beaten this to death. But I really think the key for the conference is that Clemson continues mm-hmm. to maintain their national relevance, right? And they've been fantastic. Then you got to throw in, all right, who is ready to step up and join the party? Is it right. North Carolina? They're going to be a team that a lot of folks are going to be talking about for 21. Mac's got them heading in the right direction. Is it Miami? Manny Diaz, I thought, made some progress in 20, mm-hmm. despite the fact the North Carolina game was ugly and they lost their bowl. They got to get De'Aaron King healthy. Again, our thoughts and prayers go out to him, and he'll be ready to go in 21. Can Florida State figure it out? I mean, Mike Norvell mm-hmm. has a lot of work to do. Mackenzie Milton, the transfer, will make that an interesting conversation in the spring. But Florida State's got to right. get back to being Florida State. And Virginia Tech's the other one. Again, we're talking about teams with national brands that need to be right. good. And if you give me a Virginia or Louisville turns it around or Pitt's hot because Kenny Pickett's back, hey, that is all icing on the cake. But I really think it's critical for the conference to find some dancing partners, plural, with Clemson when it comes to the big mm-hmm. picture.
Yeah, I think, for instance, you look at other leagues, and we can go back to this chart of, you know, last five seasons in FBS, the college football playoff records, things of that nature. The landscape of college football, and that's, I think, as I said in hour one, I think that's part of the discussion where we're starting to, at least you have to share some concern about where the health of college football is coast to coast. In the SEC, fine. ACC, fine. Look at the next three leagues, though. In the last 5 years when it comes to college football playoffs, the Big Ten will play its fourth ball game on Monday night in the last 5 years. The Big 12 and Pac-12 have played a combined four. That's a concern. So it's not an ACC exclusive, but it is going to be important that that folks are willing to challenge and be challengers to Clemson. And I think you see it in the SEC, whether it's Alabama 1 year, LSU, there's got to be some challengers, right? Sometimes they're in the same division. Sometimes it's, you know, like Alabama and Georgia this year might be regarded as the two highest. Certainly Texas A&M, that kind of thing. I start looking at the landscape of this now nationally as much as I do within this league. Well, I think the ACC is in a good spot and can get a lot better. And I think scheduling has something to do with that. And I'll go back to something Eric said. I think the division discussion really has to be examined by the football subcommittee of the conference and also the ADs. I think that division thing has got to be looked at, Pac, whether it's 14 or 15 schools. I really do. I think that you can find a path to where the league is a better football league without the divisions. And if that's the case, that needs to be recognized. And I think that's a hard discussion. I'm not sure it can be done for 21. But I think beyond 21, it's something you got to look at.
Well, again, in the afternoon, this is what I do all day. I think college football is in a really interesting spot because I told you, we've only mm-hmm. had five teams that have reached the college football playoff multiple times. Only five. And it seems like we have a dwindling universe of teams that really, truly have a chance to win and play for yep. the national championship. And even when we give you that list of records of the Power Five during the bowl run here, you know, when you think about the fact that Ohio State, when they beat Clemson on Friday, that was the first win for the Big Ten in the college football playoff in 2,181 days. Now, let that marinate a second, all right? And again, that's a league that's had terrific teams in Ohio State and Penn State, Wisconsin, Michigan. Their first win in 2,181 days. Right now, Ohio State treats the Big Ten kind of what like Clemson has treated the ACC. Oklahoma in the Big 12 has owned it. I mean, owned it. And right now, Oklahoma has kind of treated the Big 12 like Clemson has treated the ACC. The Pac-12 mm-hmm. has turned into basically becoming irrelevant. And that stinks. It stinks for college football. You need SC to be great. You need the Ducks to be the Ducks, right? And I think it only enhances college football because you can't have a situation where hey, you got some power beasts in the SEC. You've got Clemson that's rocking and Ohio State that's rocking and Oklahoma who makes an appearance who's yet to win a college football playoff game. You know, again, if your universe is only just a handful of teams, I don't think that's healthy for the sport. You've got to find some dance partners. And the ACC, quite frankly, is really no different right now than the Big Ten or the Big 12. And that is, hey, you got to find some more teams that can compete with teams that have already established themselves as being super great, like Oklahoma, Ohio State, and Clemson.
Let me add this to you as well. You are a missed field goal rather than a made field goal from this conversation occurring in the SEC behind who's trailing Alabama, right? I mean, if Georgia doesn't beat Cincinnati, do you think they feel a little less about maybe where they are?
Yeah, but you know what, though? Hey, it's a called scoreboard. You know, I just live in a world that, hey, it's scoreboard. You know,
Sure, right.
The only reason I bring it up is a year ago, I listened to more Ohio State fans call our afternoon radio show complaining about refs and hits. And I'm like, excuse me, I'm sorry. Somebody was winning 16-0 and should have been up 28-0. That had nothing to do with refs or bad calls or replay. I mean, it's all about scoreboard. You know what? Guys are going to make mistakes. Referees are going to make mistakes. Coaches make mistakes. At the end of the day, you add up the score. So, you know, to Georgia's credit, they found a way to win. And then we go through this ACC schedule with the Bulls. NC State had chances. North Carolina had chances. Miami, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda. If De'Aaron King stays healthy, I mean, it's all part of it. If you lose, you got to get better. And when you have an 0-6 bowl year, hey, you know what? It stinks, but I don't think it diminishes from the big picture of the year. But to get to the next level, whether you're a team that's, you know, 5-5 that wants to get in that 8 or 9 range, or if you're North Carolina or NC State with 8 or 9 wins thinking, hey, how do we get the double digits and now become part of the playoff? Or Clemson, how do you maintain the excellence, which has been this incredible 6 consecutive years of dominating the conference, being the college football playoff? You got to get better. And if you think you've arrived, you're going to get passed. Just the way we live. Yeah. That's life. So, you know, from a conference perspective, I think the conference has made great strides in football. But is there room for improvement? You better believe there is. And so get to work. Yeah. Get better.
Well, I think the other part, too, is don't get caught up. It's tough to have an 0-6 bowl run if you're an ACC football fan. But don't cash all the way out here. It's not, you don't have to tear the house down to rebuild it from the stud.
That's
rebuild
right.
From the foundation.
Exactly right.
You just got to make sure you keep the house clean and get better. Slap some paint on it, that kind of thing.
And
right?
Wes, and I will just say one more thing. The flip side to all of this is if you had a conference that went 5-0, like the Big 12, awesome, right? I mean, when you get bowl results, it's always funny to see who wants to beat their chest about it and who wants to put it underneath the rug. And if you have an 0-6, it's easy to go, hey, didn't matter, stiff arm, Heisman pose, catch you later. Hey, no. They all count because you show up to play. But if you have a great year in the bowl business, man, you beat your chest and bark like nobody's business. And if you're the Big 12, hey, you went 5-0. Oklahoma took the SEC runner-up and embarrassed them to the point the coach is talking about, wow, that wasn't really our team. I mean, when things are good, you run with it. When things are bad, be quiet, roll up your sleeves, get to work. That's the way. Yeah. To me, that's the way you got to do it.
No, hey, I couldn't agree with you more. I think it's one of those things, too, now where you've got an opportunity after having some success with two teams in the college football playoff. Go back and look at the positives. Yeah, there needs some stuff to be done, but you've got a lot of things going for you if you're the ACC, where that's where I think it's okay to take a look at your scheduling, look at your divisions, look at what gives you the best opportunity to get the best product together collectively year in and year out. This league's shown it can be a really good football league, and it's getting better. We've talked about coaching. We've talked about resources, players coming back. How about the quarterback depth of the league we've talked about in the last couple of weeks? The quarterback depth in this league next year is going to be significant. Knock on wood for De'Aaron King. We hope that comes back at 100%, but you got Kenny Pickett, Sam Howell, De'Aaron King, DJ Uiagalelei is coming back, Phil Jurkovic, Malik Cunningham. Trust me, and I'm not even getting to Sam Hartman and some of these other guys.
Mackenzie Milton.
Hey, all right. Mackenzie Milton. There you go. When we come back, how's Notre Dame fit in your future? How do we fit in Notre Dame's future if you're an ACC fan? We took some interesting calls on this in the first hour. Josh Pastor coming up bottom of the hour, by the way. 9:30, head basketball coach of the Jackets. But where are the Irish in this fold of football? Back after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Oh my God.
Packer and Durham. You heard me. I hope.
The things that get said during commercial breaks on this program, regardless of how we're doing it, are amazing.
Yeah.
And one time we're going to do an hour-long special at like midnight on the ACC Network of things that get said during commercial breaks.
Well, that'll be the last show we do, I can assure you.
That's exactly right. That'll be show 6,212 and a half.
Yeah, that will be – well, I don't know what the number will be, but it will be the final show if that ever gets to that point. Guarantee it. All right, 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. We kind of posed this question earlier today, and that is, as all ACC fans, you finally experienced a Notre Dame football season as a conference member. Are you now more willing to accept the Irish in future years as a conference member in football or not? You know, now there were still a lot of people that were kind of chapped that they were in the league this year. And I get it. Listen, this is one of those, Notre Dame is a polarizing team in football. You either love them or hate them. Just the way it is. I get it. So you now had that experience. So as an ACC fan, now, granted, we all think that they're going to be an independent and go back to that. And that's, and if they want to, great. Awesome. Go for it. But with that said, are you now more willing to accept Notre Dame if they decided to be a conference member? Yes or no? And it really is a yes, no question. All right. 844-SAY-ACCN, the number.
All right. Let's go to the Twitter machine. Because folks are providing some opinion there, and I know this is sometimes your favorite. We'll go to @BarryNoble1, who says, yes, Notre Dame would give the ACC a larger footprint in college football based upon their history and would open up a wider recruiting market. I'd give them an ultimatum, all in or nothing. Okay, Barry.
Like I said. Back. Well, I mean, like I said, I think the responses to this will be all over the place, all right? Because you could either take the approach, oh, man, they're great for the league in football. And I think they are. I do. I thought this past year was a win-win proposition, really, for both sides, given the pandemic. Big picture.
No doubt.
And big picture, Notre Dame's been in the league for years and years and years, but not in football or hockey. So that's why we kind of throw this thing out there for you as the ACC fan. Would you welcome them back with open arms after now experiencing a year of football with the Irish in the conference?
Yeah. Couple more here. Next one is, Willie Ike 7 says, yes, they bring eyeballs, ultimate name of the game. Anybody thinking differently didn't learn or forgot Econ 101. I guess that's where you learned that, right, Pat?
That's part of it.
Second, they're consistently beatable, unlike Bama, until Saban leaves. Third, help expand recruiting into key Midwest cities if desired. The no freaking brainer.
Makes good points. I think he makes
Notre
good
Dame's
points.
A little more, no question, and a little more national than just Midwest, in my opinion. But
yeah,
that's
no
and
question.
By the way, the ACC does a really good job going to those markets right now. If you go and look at the recruiting maps and landscapes, it's pretty unbelievable. Mick Scott, real quick before we get to a call. Mick Scott, great tradition, brings in more television eyes, means U of L has a closer opponent, can drop stupid divisions and play two best teams in the conference championship game, can have 9 conference games like other leagues. I don't disagree with that. 9. And here's the other thing. We're going to get to this topic at some point between now and next football season, and that is the conference game situation for everybody that wants to have that discussion. That's for that room of the 5 commissioners. that room has got to decide the conference game thing. Agreed, Pac? We talked about that before. Yeah, if everybody's going to play the same number of conference games, they got to get in the same room and sort that out. Well, that's not going to be anybody telling them what to do.
Here, well, correct on that part. But here's what I would say, because I get this in the afternoon all the time too, especially in the off season. You know, there's two leagues in football.
Yes.
That play eight conference games. That would be the Southeastern Conference and the Atlantic Coast Conference. And guess right. which two leagues have had the most success in the college football playoff? And it isn't close.
Right. We've shown it's, it.
And we've given it to you a couple times already today. So, and I will hear from Big Ten and Big 12 and Pac-12 fans, oh, it's ridiculous what the ACC and the SEC do. And I'm thinking, oh, wait a minute now. Just time out. Let me play devil's advocate. I got two conferences that are conducting their business based on what is in their best interest, right? And that, I've said it from day one. You have to do what is in your best interest. And if those two leagues have the ultimate success, maybe, just maybe, they've got it right. And all you other guys that want everything to be equal at nine don't have it right. Just saying. It's almost like, well, because they're having success, they need to adapt to what we're doing. Well, wait a minute. I would adapt to the guy that's been the most successful. I mean, if I run into two business guys, one guy's broke, the other guy's a trillionaire, I'm not going to say, hey, let me go see what the broke guy's doing, because that's really making a lot of sense. The right. ACC and the SEC have figured out the formula. So before you sit there and bark about, well, everybody should play nine or everybody should play 10, I'm just telling you, we've got a scoreboard. And John Swofford and Greg Sankey, quite frankly, have done a better job than everybody else when it comes to ding, 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 cash, and how many banners do I got sitting up there? Just saying.
Good point.
So just before y'all go crazy, everybody should play nine or everybody should play 10 and everybody only plays one. Hey, you better take a look at the guys who are having the most success. That'd be my guess. That'd be true whether we're talking about college football or running a bakery or a insurance company. That's what I would tell you.
All right. Before we get to the break, Chris in New Jersey, 844-SAY-ACCN. Chris, good morning.
Good morning. I think Notre Dame won't raise the level of competition in the ACC, but will maintain the very high level of competition in the ACC. And I don't know the traditional ACC team history with Notre Dame, but a Louisville man, I can tell you that the history with Notre Dame is long, and we feel good about that, and I'm really happy to have Notre Dame in the ACC with Louisville.
Thank you, Chris.
All right.
Hey, Wes, are they a fit academically and athletically? A perfect fit. But like I said, I respect Notre Dame's position to maintain their independence if that is what they want to do. It's like everybody else, the easiest thing to do in life is to tell somebody how to spend their money. That's the easiest thing to do in the world. Well, somebody tell you how you ought to spend it. No, Notre Dame knows what they're doing. So if they want to be independent, great. If they said, hey, you know what? That football thing kind of worked out for us. We got in the college football playoff. Yeah, we're disappointed we lost to Bama. But you know what? That path for us becomes a little bit easier for us. And we still have relationships with other institutions that academically match up with what we do. And if they wanted to join, I think it would be, like I said, I think it'd be kind of a no-brainer.
Bob in South Carolina before we get to the break. Bob, hello.
Gentlemen, to qualify, I'm the guy who called you the week before the ACC championship game with the question of Notre Dame's legitimacy. And quite frankly, I did not believe that they should be allowed to play for the ACC championship this year. I understand why they were, but I did not think that that should be done if they were not an official member in football. That being as it may, Clemson took care of business. That's all water over the bridge. Now, the answer to your question, absolutely, with open arms, anyone who is affiliated with the ACC who would not want to accept Notre Dame, I believe, is living in a crazy world. They are a national footprint. They are a great heritage. They're a great football history. Their university fits our footprint perfectly. And I would openly welcome them into the ACC. I think they'd be a great addition, and I think it would be a win-win for them as well. It's proven that it has been in all the other sports, and there's no reason why it wouldn't be a win-win for Notre Dame and the ACC in football as well. I hope that they will make that decision, and I appreciate you offering the question.
Thank you, Bob.
All right. Thanks, Bob. Happy New Year.
You know, I wonder, too, real quick, Wes, I wonder, again, biggest word in sports, if Notre Dame had beaten Clemson to win the ACC title, the league's not getting two teams in the dance, right? Clemson's not getting in with two losses. Notre Dame would have won the ACC football championship, and the league would have gotten one team in the dance. I wonder if the answer to this question would have been different. If that were the scenario, if Notre Dame would have been a one and done, got in the league, ran the table, and said, see you later.
See, this is why you're as good as you are at what you do.
I'm just asking the question.
Because I know that's why you're good at this. You're an excellent listener, and you ask good questions that see it from all angles, right?
Because I don't think the answer would be the same today if that was the scenario.
I don't think it would be either.
And nothing's changed from an academic standpoint. Nothing has changed from an athletic standpoint. But had Notre Dame rolled in here with the invite, ran the table, won the belt, got the trophy, and said, hey, we're going to go take care of you guys. Get on our bandwagon. We're going to the college football playoff. Sorry, Clemson. Good luck in the Orange Bowl. I doubt that the attitude would be the same today, asking the same question.
I totally agree. Yeah. All right, let's take a break. Josh Pastner's on the way next. Let's remind you of an ACC basketball triple header, and that's coming up on Wednesday, 4:30. Unique start time, a little late afternoon deal, if you will. Pittsburgh and Syracuse from the Dome. And then at 6:30, we'll take you to the KFC Yum Center. Mike Young and number 24 Virginia Tech on the road at Louisville. And then Boston College visits number 20 Duke at 8:30. So it's a triple header Wednesday afternoon, starting with Pitt and Syracuse. You better get ready for this type of stuff, folks. This is kind of the way this may be this winter. Wednesday afternoon, 4:30 is the start time. Three in a row right here on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app. When we come back, beat Carolina, beat Wake Forest, Josh Pastner and Georgia Tech feeling pretty good about their situation. We will catch up with the coach of the Jackets next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. 844-SAY-ACCN. Tomorrow we unveil our basketball accounting, and it promises to be a total cluster. I'm just telling you, it is impossible to figure this thing out. We just have not. There's some teams we just haven't got a large sample size on. There are some.
Well, we just asked Pastor.
And we're going right to him because I was going to say there are some teams that we do have a pretty good handle on because our next guest had a pretty strong week. Now he just went WW. Yeah. On the heels in the Swiss. And there is, I don't even recognize him at the face shield, but Josh Pastner, good morning, man. Congrats, that's a good week.
Yep, good morning, everybody. Yeah, no, I get asked a lot about the face shield. They said, are you a coach or are you a welder? And, that's what they say. And I just said, look, with the mask, I said, look, it's hard for me to coach in the actual mask. I feel like I'm suffocating, so I need the face shield. I've had a few coaches ask me, are you getting a sponsorship for that or something? But I says, no, I just, it's like for about an order of 10, they cost $20. I mean, they're pretty cheap. They're not, but you're able to see. And, and I don't really mess with it that much. I keep it down, so I don't touch it that much. And but a lot of people have called me the welder, the welder man. So
I like that.
Now my wife would say the opposite. She says I'm not real handy around the house. So But a lot of people have had me the nickname the Welder.
I'm going to tell you something, Welder. That idea for a sponsorship and given all the Jeff Collins sound bites we've had with the BMW logo in the background, the 404 and the brand, and I cannot believe somebody hasn't come off the hip and put the varsity on the side of your forehead or whatever the case may be for the corporate sponsors there at Georgia Tech.
Only if it's good for Georgia Tech. So no personal gains from my end. I don't want any conflict of interest. So only for Georgia Tech. So if Georgia Tech wants it, I'll do it. So I'll let that be up to Mr. Stansberry.
I like that idea.
All right. Now, wait a second. What if we sent you like a little Packer and Durham sticker? Could you affix it to the shield somewhere out of your periphery so you might get a little Packer and Durham exposure during the game?
I think because it's the ACC, I think that's doable. And I think that would be actually really good because, you know, I'm always talking about the ACC conference and it's the best conference. So, and I'm always enjoying being on with you guys. So I think that would be something that would be well worth it. So if you wanted to do that, I'll try to stick it on there at some point.
I tell you what, I can even picture a Packer and Durham logo and then on the other side, beat Kentucky in a question mark, right?
You know, Josh, there's this other idea. Wait, there's this other idea. You know, the Duke Blue Devil started with the tape across the forehead, writes a message. Maybe you just take the top of the shield where it says face shield or whatever it says, the brand there, and just cover that with some sort of masking tape, and then you write a message at the top every game.
I like where this is going.
That's a good idea. Or you treat it like a football helmet and put stickers every time you get a win. You know, somewhere on the mask, you know, part. You can do that too. There's a lot of ideas we can. There's a lot of ideas and things we can do with that face shield.
Let me tell you something. This is right down our alley. Marketing ideas for the league and to promote Georgia Tech Hoops. There's nothing wrong with any of this stuff. I tell you what now, on a serious note, Alvarado's been going off, hasn't he? I mean, goodness gracious, he has been out of sight here the last couple games.
Yeah, you know, guys, I mean, look, I we had talked about this in the preseason a few times. I mean, look, the bottom line is especially in this league, you're going to really rely on guard play, and in college basketball, it's going to depend on your guard play. And a guy like Jose Alvarado has just been at a very, very high level. You know, we've been better since the start of the season. You know, we started not good. We went through a stretch where, because of COVID, we didn't practice with contact. We avoided contact so we could get to the games, which we did our first two games. The issue was, after those first two games, I told our staff, I said, if we continue down this road of no contact practices, we will literally be 0-27. 0-27 is what the projection we would have ended up going. So I said, we have to practice with contact. We got to give our guys a chance to have success. So we've got to practice and do it within a safe way, obviously. And so since then, we've been better. I knew we would, you know, start trying to figure out kind of who we were as a team. And since then, we've been better. And part of that's obviously with our guard play. And Jose Alvarado is a big part of that.
Josh, I noticed last night you have already, and I'm not asking about this particular team as much as I am your philosophy in putting this together, and you've already kind of pared down the rotation. You've looked at your minutes. You've done a lot of analysis through those first two games, I'm guessing, where you took tough losses and said, okay, we need to start sorting through combinations here. You've already kind of worked through a lot of combinations, and yet you haven't played many games. Therefore, have you kind of constituted the process in practice as much as you have on the floor in action?
Yeah, you know, look, one, when you don't practice with contact, you misevaluate some things and you're thinking of things based on what you did last year. And you're feeling like, okay, our guys can just kind of show up and we'll figure it out based on our experience and kind of our veteran guard play and some of our veteran guys. Well, that being said, I misevaluated because I wasn't watching us every day in contact practice prior, you know, to start the season. So through games and now that we're practicing, I've been able to you know, as like have course correction. Our staff and I have been able to have some course correction on what's needed to be done. Our staff, my assistant coaches, have done a great job with game planning and coming up with different ideas to help our team be better. And obviously the players have bought into it. And all the guys have really played well. And to your point, Wes, one of the things that the staff and I thought what was best was we needed to get a smaller rotation. It was better for everybody. And part of that, we also were going to play smaller at times. And everybody's done a great job. Everybody's contributed. It's been a very equal opportunity offense, and we've done a nice job in that area. I'm personally a big believer in player movement, ball movement, not giving the ball a headache or massaging the ball, and the guys have done a nice job of that. So we've played well in a lot of areas. We still have a long way to go. We've got a lot of things to work on. You guys know in this league, especially with no home court advantage, it is wide open. Nobody knows. I mean, it's just a crapshoot. Anytime you can get a win, it's special. But when you get an ACC win, it's extra special. I don't take those for granted. I know how hard this league is to win one game. And every time we get one win, that first win of the year, you're like, thank God we're not going to be 0-20. You know, and because there are good teams in this league that can, it's hard to win. And you can be good in this league and still not come up with wins. So I tell our team all the time, and I tell people, you don't take wins for granted in this league.
Josh, we spent some time earlier today talking about the ACC woes in the bowl season going 0-6, in which really every team lost the turnover battle in those bowl games. One thing your team is doing a great job is creating turnovers. Does that go back to, hey, we got to have contact in practice? What's the mindset there where all of a sudden you're turning people over left and right?
Great question on that. And the point was prior to our contact, prior to our first games, you know what I fully didn't realize? I knew it, but I didn't see it until we started having those games and then practicing with contact, was how much we were going to miss James Banks in the middle. Don't forget, from our first 4 years here, we had 2 years of Ben Lammers and 2 years of James Banks. Our starting center was first team all ACC defense for 4 straight years and the leading shot blocker in the league for almost all 4 of those years. Now that we don't have James Banks or Ben Lammers in the back, we missed that shot blocking. And so not recognizing that because of not having that non-contact, I knew we were going to miss James, but not visually really seeing the amount that we were going to miss on that. We had to create turnovers in other ways. So instead of shot blocking, we had to do some different things off of our, you know, perimeter defense in a sense, because we are playing smaller. The other thing we've done a nice job of is we're doing a better job of taking care of the basketball, ball security, not turning it over. If you're going to play smaller, you can't be throwing the ball all over the place with silly turnovers. We've been better about that, and we've had a high assist on made field goals. I've been really happy about that with our group. I'm really proud of our young men. We got a great group of guys who's just, you know, they've bought in, and like I said, the staff, the assistant coaches have done an awesome job, but the credit goes to the young men. They've really been able to be resilient and turn the corner when, you know, obviously the start of the season, the sky was falling there early, but we were able to bounce back, and that's a credit to the young men.
All right, but you've also gotten old, right? I mean, let's not dismiss the fact that, you know, you're the get old, stay old here. You're doing every bit you can to not only get old, but also try and stay old. Alvarado, DeVoe, Wright, Moore, Bubba Parham, even as a transfer, as an older kid, I mean,
Jordan
that's
Usher.
Got to count for, yeah, I mean, all that's got to count for something, right?
Well, you look at the top 6 guys that we're playing with the amount of minutes that we're playing, they're all juniors and seniors. And everybody's played major minutes in their career, have started many games. And I've said it, the best way I believe for Georgia Tech to be successful is to get old and stay old in this league. In the league that where there's 15 teams, with the realignment, the best way for Georgia Tech with realignment in 15 teams is to get old and stay old. And we are old. So our top 6 guys are older. We're an older group. And so that's got to show. And in the last few games, it's shown of that veteran, you know, group. And it's got to continue to show as we move forward in this league. And there's, you know, as you guys know, experience, there's a lot of matters, and especially for this year, experience really goes a long way when you're not, when this is such an, you know, uncharted territory with COVID and everything.
Josh, how hard was it to scout Wake Forest? I mean, we got, you know, Coach Forbes, new coach. We haven't seen him play a whole lot. So with that said, how difficult was that? And what can you tell us about Wake Forest?
Yeah, look, I think Coach Forbes is an unbelievable coach. Obviously, his success of what he did at East Tennessee, and then even previously where he was at a junior college down in Florida, he was really good there. They won. So, I mean, the guy has won so many games. He's going to be great at Wake Forest. We actually, this was a very hard scout. We didn't know who was going to play. We didn't know who was going to actually show up. We didn't know because they had played very few games. They had a lot of guys out. So I know it's been tough for Coach Forbes. So we actually had to go back and watch a lot of East Tennessee film. To be honest with you, we had to go back to watch what they did there. Obviously, the personnel would be different, but the concepts would be the same. So we really relied on East Tennessee, and I think Wake's going to be good. Obviously, look, when you take over a program, it's going to take some time. Coach Forbes is one of the best coaches in the country. He's got a great staff. They've got a lot of good young players, and they're going to be really good. And as they continue to play and get healthy, they're going to be a team that's going to continue to get better and is going to be a tough out throughout the ACC season.
All right, so here's the deal. Wednesday night at Notre Dame, weekend at Louisville, home to Pittsburgh, at NC State. I mean, we'll just blow the schedule up here because it looks like you're going to get 4 or 5 nights off in this next sequence of 7 or 8 games, isn't it?
Yeah, I wish that was the case. I mean, this is just this stretch. And that, guys, that's what I'm trying to tell you. When you win a game in the ACC, like I tell people, don't take it for granted. You can play well and still not win in this league. And this, you look at that schedule. I mean, that is just, those are 8 games. How do you sleep at night? And I'm like, oh my goodness. And you look at that. So, I mean, we're going to have to be really, really good in all 8 games. Obviously, one possession at a time. It's just, that's the league. That is the league. It is the best league in all of college basketball. You win a game, you don't take it for granted. Every possession is precious. I tell our guys, EPIP, every possession is precious. You don't take it for granted. And you pull up that right there. You ruined my day, Wes. You ruined my day when you pulled that up right there.
You know what? That's a schedule only a welder could love right there. All right? Only a welder can have a schedule like that.
I hope you guys are wearing the face shields. You know, I know you're not together, but maybe in time you'll wear the face shields if need to be.
If you, hey, you slap a Packer in Durham on that face shield, and we may do a show with those things on. If I see
a
Packer in Durham
this.
On there.
I've been your biggest promoter. Do you understand the glob last year?
The glob.
I was promoting that to everybody. That was important for us to win the glob. We won the glob. I was promoting that. I'm your biggest marketing tool out there for you guys for your show. Come on now.
By the way, I think the glob has moved from the middle to the top because we're going to unveil accounting tomorrow. And, Coach, it is impossible to figure out this league right now in early January.
Well, I tell you, I said this before, the league this year, it's as wide open as it ever has been. I mean, with obviously, for sure, since realignment, but with no home court advantage, any 1 through 15, anybody can beat anyone on any given night. You got to throw out the stats. With no home court advantage, it's a wide open deal. You don't know who's playing who because of testing and everything. There's a lot of things that are outside your control. So it's going to be a wild race, and we'll see what happens. And it's going to be a crazy league race all the way to the end, and it'll be a lot of storylines as we go over these next few months.
Look forward
to it. All
right,
Josh. Good luck. Good luck Wednesday night at Notre Dame. Thanks for the time as always. Keep it going. Okay.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You bet. Josh Pastner, head basketball coach at Georgia Tech. Always a good time. We will take a quick break. When we come back, we have a couple more calls on Notre Dame and their football affiliation. Welcomed with open arms? Sounds like it. Back with more Packer and Durham on the final turn on a Monday right after.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham, final segment of an interesting Monday show, 844-STAY-ACCN. We'll squeeze a couple calls in here because we threw a number of different topics on you, one being Notre Dame. Would you welcome with open arms after experiencing a college football season with the Irish? Let's go to Mike. He is in South Carolina, and he has been holding patiently. Mike, good morning.
Hey, guys. First-time caller. Great show. I've always enjoyed it, so thanks for that.
Thank you.
I've got a bigger question. I'd say yes to Notre Dame, but since we're entertaining picking up another team, if Notre Dame says no, I still like the idea of adding a team, and let me suggest one to you. I'm from there. University of Cincinnati. They've jumped through conferences as they move up. Folks down in Cincinnati have talked about trying to get into the ACC for 25 years. It's a good team. It's a good team. It's a good basketball team. It's a great city for visiting. People that don't think Cincinnati isn't a great city to tailgate, well, I would like you to consider going to South Bend in the winter, and you pick which one you'd rather do. It's got a huge TV market. And then here's the other thing. It gets ACC football up into Southern Ohio. All of us that are thinking about ways to get even with Ohio State this morning, one of the ways to do that is to cut into some of that recruitment that they get. So I think it would be a big plus. It worked for us with Louisville. It's not that long ago that you think about all those games with Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson. That was a Big East team. And the city seems to fit. It's only about an hour and a half from Louisville. And as we begin to, one of the after effects from COVID, we're always going to have to rethink the amount of travel we do. So this would be another game, very, very southern-like right. city that fits into our other schools. And I bet you, and we can talk about trying to grow competition for Clemson, and maybe in 2 years, maybe next year, maybe. Or here's the deal. Just go out and get it.
Yeah.
Okay, Mike, thank you.
All right.
The Cincinnati Chamber of Commerce calling in this morning. Wes, you got any vibe on the Bearcats? Initial reaction is what?
No. This is a Notre Dame conversation. Appreciate the idea, but Cincinnati would be on a list with about a dozen others that would want to be the 15th school. We've been through this rotation. This is a Notre Dame exclusive conversation. I appreciate the Cincinnati idea, but I heard that 7 or 8 years ago. So, you know, we'll get to that if there's ever a need for a 15th or a 16th team, perhaps. And speaking of 16, tomorrow on this program, friends, we unveil basketball accounting, something against our better judgment, if you quite frankly want to know.
It's going to be great. And I do have a 16th locked and loaded for tomorrow.
Thanks to everybody for a great show. Have a safe Monday. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. on ACC Network.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.